All right, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, in just a moment. We've got our PGA Championship draft still to come. The O-Dog is on the clock, and he's already announced he's going to take Justin Thomas with his first pick.
Maybe.
Oh, now we're starting to get some indecisive tones out of the O-Dog. All right. Well, I just saw something on Instagram. Forgive my ignorance. Maybe I'm supposed to know this. But the PGA Tour on Instagram just posted like a quick video of Tiger Woods on the range. Does he bring his own range balls? Like, would a PGA Tour professional, like, he's hitting Bridgestone balls. Would he be like, I'm only hitting my ball?
From my understanding is they're either shipped there waiting for him and there's, you know, locker room attendants and there's just those little green range bags where guys go and get their own golf balls.
Like that ball is a balling move, man. You're like, imagine.
Dude,
hitting.
What do you think they're gonna go to hit Tam O'Shanter orange fluorescent balls in the range?
Well, I figured maybe the tournament would supply, like, if there's some sponsor, like Titleist, let's say, is sponsoring the tournament, and or is the main sponsor. It's like, okay, everyone can hit Pro Vs. Like, what's wrong with hitting a Pro V?
I'm sure there might be some guys that are like, okay, give me a Pro V, I can hit that. But I'm almost positive guys would be hitting their own golf balls on the range.
That is balling. I mean, I guess you should expect nothing less. It is the PGA Tour, and it's Tiger Woods.
Dude, yeah, but I do like, that, and I'm an amateur slob. I have a little range, like a...
You bring your own range balls and leave them there? You hit them onto the range?
Can you listen to me, please? I have one of those things that's called, like, it's a ball picker-upper. It's called a shag bag.
Yeah.
And when I'm done around with a golf ball, I throw it into the shag bag. So when I go and practice my short game, I'm chipping with the golf balls that I use.
That's... Get real, dude. Like,
what
that,
is your what?
That's
like,
a
why wouldn't you
concept.
Chip with the same?
Well, chipping is one thing. I'm saying this guy's on the deck hitting 320-yard drives and leaving it out there for the cart to
dude,
pick
the
it up.
Golf ball. These golf balls are dialed into their specs, their launch angles, their spin rate.
Okay.
Like, you want to be hitting your golf just because you're a chop and you hit the same.
I'll hit anything, dude. You throw a pinnacle at me. You throw a top flight.
I know another move of yours. If you're at a nice course and you see something on the range that catches your eye, it goes right into the bag.
It might, even if it says range on it. Pro V, yeah. Range. I'm playing a range.
That course that Dregs took us to, the balls in the range were square.
Yeah. Well, here's Darren Dreger, a Hockey Insider. You're never going to live that one down, Dregs.
Well, number one, that's bad information because there is no range at that golf course.
It's just a dirt road. It's a dirt road.
Yeah.
No, those are the tee blocks.
Optional, depending on what tee you're playing, but
right.
It's a tough spot for sure.
Well, so what's your understanding of the Jake Muzzin situation? Like he left the bubble, I believe. He went to the hospital, and now he's returned, and did he have to get tested multiple times to return? Like, what do you know about that, Dregs?
Yeah, that's essentially it, Brian. You know, there's a combination of things in play here. One is his health. You know, it's good news that he came out of the hospital and returned to the bubble last night. But, you know, I still think he's a ways away from returning. Now, that might be, you know, going into the next round if the Toronto Maple Leafs are successful against the Columbus Blue Jackets. But it might be longer, too. They just don't know. So, you know, let's just examine the severity of the situation. We all watched it. I mean, it was a scary incident, particularly Owen and I are watching, you know, in Studio 6 when Muzzin is shaking his fingers and moving his feet. And at that point, the medical staff of the Toronto Maple Leafs recognized that, you know, this isn't right. You know, we've got to take all precautions because he'd lost feeling in his extremities, in his arms and in his legs. That's why he was taken to hospital. Now, the great news is, you know, the feeling returned. So even though there seemed to be some type of neurological event, it was short-lived. But I got to believe, without knowing officially, there's going to be some additional testing. But in the meantime, part of that testing is the protocol being inside that bubble. And my understanding is you do need 4 consecutive negative tests. So they'll have to go through that. I was surprised to learn that in the world of the National Hockey League, where there's such a heightened level of sensitivity to concussions, as there should be, that they don't have a protocol for something like this. So As long as he's not diagnosed with concussion, he doesn't have to go into concussion protocol. He just has to worry about the protocol of the bubble. But those two things, the protocol of the bubble and the fact that they're not convinced he's even close to 100% healthy, was enough for the Toronto Maple Leafs to say he's not going to be available.
Yeah, that was a scary scene. And I guess the protocol will be in place now. You know, I'm sure now that they've been through it, now I guess that was some experience for the league, not one that they wanted.
What if he wakes up in 2 days and he's like, I'm like dialed in, I'm good. Just no. Not happening?
Not happening, no. And again, it's dependent on the protocol process. I'd be real surprised. Like my sense is from people around him that he feels okay. He feels okay. You know, he's not lying in his bed in the bubble and doing nothing. Like he's okay. But these things do need some time. I'm not so sure, like I said earlier, that they won't do some additional testing, but that would be absolute best case scenario that, you know, on day four, when he's tested negative yet again inside the bubble, he says, yeah, I feel great. You know, do the Leafs have grounds to contact the league and say, well, you know, we're going into game five, or if they pass the timeline? I can't answer that officially, but I think Toronto would have known that answer before issuing the brief statement that they did earlier today.
Right. Yeah, well, what about the officiating overall? We haven't talked a lot about it on this show, but there's, and I'm not even talking about that incident, but there's been a lot of calls. I mean, there's been a lot of, I think, appropriate calls, some of them not so appropriate, in my opinion. I thought the Spezza call in particular was awful. I thought it was a terrible penalty call. But they've called some penalty shots. I mean, I don't know if they're under some sort of orders from the league to stay on top of this. It is the resumption of play, and that generally happens in October. You see the refs kind of ease into it by calling a lot more penalties than they normally would. But it's playoff hockey, so what are we looking for? Where's the balance? I'd like to find it if we could.
And I think, Brian, that, you know, if Stephen Walken were on the program, he would say, look, you know, we're hired to call the game judgmentally as we see fit. And I don't think that they would. In fact, they would be offended if we suggested that the standard was different prior to the pause than it is today in the qualifying in the round robin. And they always get rankled over that, and Commissioner Bettman gets upset, and he starts making calls to Walkham and Coley Campbell to say, look, you know, is this criticism accurate? Has the standard changed? And if so, stop it. We need to apply the same standard that is applied in the regular season. So I don't think that's the case. The easy excuse for the officials would be, look, players are just getting used to how the game is called normally. And I don't think that there's as much scrutiny. I'm not hearing a lot of grumbling from coaches or general managers. And normally by this time, if you were in a normal playoff environment, you'd get that. You'd get that. You'd start getting players talking about it, managers, certainly head coaches. I think everybody's just like, well, we didn't really know what to expect, so we're just learning as we go here. It's entertaining, though, whether you like it or not, depending on the team you're cheering for. More power plays is clearly going to generate more offense.
I agree. And the one thing that I've kind of noticed, I don't know if you guys would agree with this, is the refs don't seem to be, you know how sometimes we believe, and again, I know they would take this as a criticism, but they could be swayed by the home crowd, you know, or the even up calls, that type of stuff. Like, there is no home crowd. There's no nothing. No. Like, they're just making calls. Like, I know that not every call you agree with, but for the most part, I think they've done a pretty good job, like, on both sides. Like, you know, there's calls that are legit, and you know, there's a couple questionable ones, or ones that they've let go and let the game and try and have a pulse for the game. But for the most part, I think they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the beginning of resumption of play for them as well, right?
And right.
I don't think it's been overly egregious. I just think their ability to call for a penalty shot has been a little bit surprising to me. I mean, they are almost going out of their way to supply that type of entertainment value. And I don't have anything against it, because it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Like you get back-to-back penalty shots like we saw game one in that Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
You don't see that every day. But I don't think they've been the story. I have been surprised by the amount of penalties called. Even the Leafs last night, like, they benefited. The majority of them were legitimate calls. There might have been one or two that were ticky-tacky. But how often do you see in a playoff game a team go to the power play six or seven times?
Well, I know.
You just don't see that historically. Yeah. Right?
I'll tell you what's interesting. Ray Ferraro brought this up earlier today. I don't know if he mentioned it on your show, but he was telling me today prior to his taping the podcast that the guy hitting the mute button might have been in the Vancouver-Minnesota game last night, allegedly hit the mute button 193 times.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Wow. That's a lot of chirping going on.
That's a lot of chirping.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing, though, right? I didn't know what kind of animosity there'd be if these players and the teams collectively thought, hey, we've accomplished something just getting here. You know, the fact that we put this together is a good thing. But I'm sensing some legit, you know, hatred out there, and that's what you want.
And let me jump on this, too. How many times do you think that was for the coach in Columbus?
Yes.
Because I would imagine that 37 times, that would they would cut to the bench, and he would be F-bombing left and right. So you know that's a mute button. I'm watching this Tampa-Boston game kind of in the background. It's gotten ugly. There's a couple bad hits and you know, scrums after every whistle. You guaranteed they're on the on the mute button here because it's the building is quiet.
Right.
And I've called games in Florida where, you know, the building is quieter and maybe not as full. You can hear people yelling on the bench, and you imagine F-bombs just ringing out if there's egregious plays. It's a battle for that mute button person.
Well, trying to drive up some revenue, you know what they should do is offer a clean feed and then the broadcast feed, right? And then you want the broadcasters as part of it as well, but no mute on the other feed. And you got to pay a $20 premium per game to get the unfiltered goods.
Yeah, basically access to the bench.
Yeah, but the problem is the hurt feelings crowd would be cutting and pasting it and putting it online.
Yeah, you're right.
Online and go, oh, Tortorella just yelled at Dubois and he said the F word five times. So let's, you know, and you know all those dopes online would just love that.
Yeah, they'd ruin a good time. They would ruin a great opportunity for some entertainment value.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with that, though, Dregs. That should be an option, but I don't think the league would allow it either. The league wants nothing to do with it. The PA probably wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.